Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Last week we were talking with Phil about wilderness, and the reason why we're doing that is we want the Word of God to speak directly to where we are today and where we are living today. There's nothing more frustrating, right, living as a Christian and thinking that here's my life and here's what's going on, and almost like the Word of God or what God says is almost, whilst it may not be irrelevant completely, how do we get this truth of who the Word is and who Jesus is revealed in the Word and make it our lived experience? How do we live? You know, we don't want to live with this disconnect between the Word of God and who we are, because we have to let God's Word shape us and mold us. So last week we talked about this and we started a conversation around wilderness, because wilderness is a place of separation. It's a place of which is different to the norm. You know, the children of Israel, as one example of wilderness, when they were walking from Egypt into the Promised Land, they found themselves in this place where they had left one thing behind and they were walking towards something else. And in this place of wilderness, and there's lots of wilderness through the Bible, that it's a place where actually, you know, we don't normally like it. It doesn't feel natural to us. It feels like we're in between. It's not our natural home, but it's a very powerful place where we can experience God. And actually the word wilderness means God speaks. And Phil talked about that last week. He talked about how it's a place where we can first and foremost hear what God is saying, because it's a place where there is quietness and solitude. When you think about what's going on right now, we have completely had so much stuff stripped away, so much stuff gone from what is normal. And here we are in this place where, you know, we don't want to fill it just with busyness, but we want to be able to rest and relax in the sense of taking stuff out so that we can hear God speak about not just where we are now, but where he wants to take us to. So the first thing that we talked about last week was wilderness is a place where God reveals himself. God reveals who he is, and we see him more clearly. It's almost like, you know, when the clouds part at night and you can see the stars. It's interesting. I've been out walking at night with my dog that I love very much, and I'm pounding the streets of East Belfast late at night, and it's amazing for me when all the noise is gone. I found even last night when I was out walking, when the noise is gone, you can hear so much more. You know, we could hear foxes, we could hear, you know, birds in the trees, things fussling, and because there was no noise. And then all of a sudden what would happen is one car would come and you could hear the car miles away in the distance. And I thought to myself, isn't it interesting how all the noise that was normal, when it's stripped away, actually, I can hear so much more and so much more clearly. And then when I heard the road noise, I thought, no, I don't want to hear all that. I want to hear all the other stuff. Well, that's exactly what wilderness is like. When it's everything stripped away, God reveals himself. He reveals himself to you. He wants to show himself to you as to who he really is, how he loves you, how he has done such a great work for you, what your future is, what he has for you. And he doesn't want anything to distract you. So that's what we talked about last week. And this week we're going to continue the conversation. It's all about in the wilderness, how God, after he's revealed who he is, he then reveals who we are. So let's jump into the conversation. We're doing it slightly differently. If you're used to people preaching, okay, and sermons, then this is just slightly different to what you're used to. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the Word of God. We're going to talk about what it means, and you're going to learn something really incredible. So let's just jump into the conversation now with Phil. So it's great to see you, Phil.
It's good to be here.
How are you doing? Are you good?
Doing good. Oh. Doing good. Enjoying the sun. Having a good time. Good.
Last week you were telling us about the grass seed. Did it arrive?
Well, it didn't arrive from home base. I've named and shamed them. Now, yeah. 3.5 weeks later, but I got it in like an hour from Dundonald Nursery. So happy days. Plug there.
Brilliant.
Job done. Seeded. I just need to see some green shoots coming up soon.
It just needs to grow now?
Just needs to grow.
Does that mean you're out of projects?
I'm never out of projects. There's always a project.
I was going to say, you could actually come around and do mine.
I don't know. Give me as long as we can have in this period. I'd be quite happily, even if I could just go to work and come home and do projects, I'd
be awesome. Fine. Heather would love that.
She would love it.
Wouldn't she?
Never-ending project.
I notice you've got your hair cut as well.
I had that last week too.
It looks good. See, I'm at the stage, right, and this is true, where mine has got to the stage where I need to do something, but I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm nervous. Because the only way my hair is going to get done is if Penny does it. And the thought of letting her near my head with a pair of scissors right now makes my blood run cold.
So
let it grow. I think you could go.
This could be a project for you, 80, is what I'm saying.
80s, 90s throwback of curtains. I could see you with those.
I used to have curtains.
I bet you did. You
I did. I had a mad cow's lick thing going on, right? But it was all the rage then. And then I had it really greased back, like, the whole way.
Brilliant. You could go with that. You could carry that off for it.
Yeah. See, the thing is, you know what I'm worried about? I saw this brilliant meme on the internet where it's, lockdown haircuts, right? And it's like a throwback to when your mum cut your hair. My mum used to cut my hair, right? And my friends used to go from like one eyebrow up to here.
Brilliant.
And she used to look at it and go, that's fine, it's fine. Mother, it's like, you used to start. So I think I'm actually seriously traumatised.
Brilliant.
But if you're thinking, there's probably going to be a couple of YouTube videos you could watch.
Here, I'd give it a go.
Have a rattle. I'll do it myself. It'd be brilliant. Well, listen, we really enjoyed last week. It was good chatting. Yeah.
I enjoyed it, yeah. Yeah, it's been really good, and I really enjoyed taking time just to really get a sense of what God's saying for us at the minute and make sure that we don't let this time pass us by. I think that's the big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? After our conversation last week, I did really go away and think, what are the things that I need to stop? That whole thing. In fact, one of the things I did, actually, I bought Marva J. Dawn's book. And I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
But we went and we bought it.
I got the last two wrong last week, I remembered, because it was ceasing, resting, and then it's embracing and feasting.
All right, cool.
Which is beautiful as well, because after you rest, you got to embrace what God has for you, and then just feast and enjoy it.
Okay. Right? It was cool, because it really made me think, actually, to go, I need to, there's no point in us, even for the people listening tonight, right? There's no point in us just talking about this stuff, yeah? At some point, we've got to go, what's going to give? If I want to walk into what I believe God has for me, if I really want to, like, suck the most out of this time that we've been given, what am I going to stop? Because I can't just keep adding in, yeah? I'm going to have to stop something.
It's sometimes it's giving up good things. Do you know, it's not all going, this thing's bad or that's bad in and of themselves. It's just saying that this is better. Do you know? And so is there stuff I need to stop doing now so I can do something that's better? And I actually think God's asking us to press in to create a new rhythm for our life that extends way beyond the end of lockdown, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the things that we are all going to have to, really think about post, when the locks come off. What is it when lockdown finishes? Whatever that expression would be, right? I think we've really got to think. I was thinking now and make the decisions now, all right? And one of the things that I have found, so you can help us with this, right? Because it kind of leads into what we want to talk about tonight. Because last week you were kind of unpacking for us that in a place of wilderness, God reveals who he is, right? And this is our great external reference point, to use your expression, which is fantastic. Now, one of the things in slowing down and ceasing, right, is that actually we don't like the noise, or the lack of noise brings stuff up. And we kind of go, is this me? Is this what my life's about? Is this all there is, in fact?
Yeah.
And it creates this kind of, this, not a void, but this, we're confronted then.
Yeah.
With the lack of everything else going on, there's almost like a wee sense of, well, who am I really? And, God being God, but who am I?
Yeah. As we talked about last week, it is that thing, I think, in the wilderness, we can encounter God and he reveals himself to us. We live in such a busy world where there's stuff all the time. But I also think there's lots of stuff going on all the time that we don't give attention to because of the noise. So in this case, can we start to turn down the noise? And I would say this isn't just about, the fact that I'm not in work anymore, potentially, because some people are working really hard at the minute. But everybody's life has been changed, and it puts us in a different place. Whenever we stop, as we were talking about last week, if we stop, what do we start to hear? And sometimes it's easy, I don't really like what's starting to come up here. So we've got two options, I think. We busy ourselves, keep ourselves busy, do whatever, even technique, we can even just stick on stuff, even might be good stuff. Or we can go the other way. And, it's almost like to create this weird, super monastic approach to it as well, where that in and of itself, we busy ourselves with the activity of trying to be quiet, if that makes sense, you know? But there's something in the middle of that, of holding that tension, was the term I think you used last week.
Yeah.
Can we hold that space?
Yeah.
And allow God to fill it with an increased awareness of who we are,
yeah,
and then who he sees us as. Yeah. And then that hopefully creates and brings about the change in us that he wants to bring to prepare us for what he has ahead of us, yeah, which is outstanding.
Which sounds brilliant, but it's hard, right? Because I don't know about you, whenever I find myself, and this really struck me last week, right? So the question I asked myself after listening to you was going, not some sort of deep, oh my word, kind of mad experience, right? Mm-hmm. But there was this genuine sense of going, when I slow down and I can listen to worship music, I can read the word, I can feed myself, right? But then I find myself going, why is it, what is it in me that still feels that need, that push to actually really experience rest, right? Mm-hmm. There's something in me that keeps coming up, all right?
Yeah.
Because there is still, I feel this like umbilical link, is that the right word? Mm-hmm. Where to doing.
Yeah.
Right? I still need to do, because, and as mm-hmm. much as I hear it, mm-hmm. when I'm not doing, I kind of feel like I'm not right, I should be doing, there's a drive. I mean, do you get that? And I need God to help me with that.
Doesn't that characterize so much of our life?
Yeah.
And that's why we're so in need of grace. I'm the same. Do you know, it's so much easier to do stuff, to be busy. And what does that tell us about how we're wired or some of our deeply ingrained patterns of thinking? Because I have the same, that whenever we stop, there's a need to do stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm convinced at times I keep needing to be reminded that God's approval of me and how he views me isn't in any way linked to my activity or what I do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am at various times at various levels of agreement and acceptance and embracing that truth, you know, but it's a constant thing where I've got to keep recentering myself to that. And it's absolutely, I think, for all of us, you make a massive point at it, so it is hard. And then I think we start to then go, I'm no good at this, so what's the point? Mm. And we get all that distraction that comes in.
Yeah.
And it was a great term I heard a few years ago from someone, and they said, you know, if you want to pray, just pray what you have.
Yeah.
And I think that's brilliant. So whatever it is that comes in, just to mind that need to have busyness, that's the thing we offer mm-hmm. at that point.
Yeah.
So, look, God, I'm feeling this real need to want to have to do stuff now, to yeah. be busy. I want to go and do yeah. stuff. So God, help me with that.
Because God's not afraid of that, right?
No.
He's not going to, there's no point in hiding it, because mm-hmm. he's not going to turn around and go, oh, for goodness sake. Mm-hmm. So that bit of honesty and honest reflection yeah. with the Lord to go, actually, right now, I'm not at ease. I'm mm-hmm. a bit, you know, it's in your spirit almost, isn't yeah. it?
And I think there's something that can be really powerful about recognizing and naming it and verbalizing it to God.
Yeah.
Saying, this is what I'm feeling right now, God. Now, I don't know what that means. Can you help me with that? But I know that it's becoming a barrier for me to listen and to hear that still small voice, what you want to say to me. And it's a little bit like that thing, it's about some deep-seated need within us. Mm-hmm. What is that need to want to work? And it's a wee bit like hunger at times. You know, at the time when you're doing something and you feel a bit hungry, you know, yeah. your body's not going to let you settle until you feel it, mm. until you meet that need.
Yeah.
And this need, so going, what are my choices and how do I meet that need? I busy myself, but I never actually scratch the itch.
Yeah.
Mixed metaphors. But actually then if I talk about it, I deal with it, I bring it to God and go, help me with this, God. Then I think when we start to address that need, then yeah. we push through the other side, and that's the place where we start to find a bit of rest.
Yeah. Because I think that is such a crucial, unbelievably crucial thing for right now. Because like we said last week, I don't want to get to the end of this period of lockdown mm-hmm. and go, I missed it.
Yeah.
I missed it. So I think we have a couple of options. Like Jacob in the Bible, he's an interesting one, right? As you think about it. Because I think whenever we have two options, is the way I see it. What's just the way I see it, so you can help me with it. Whenever our stuff is coming up in us, because God wants to show us, right, who he is, and then show us who we are mm-hmm. in light of who he is.
Yes.
But whenever, you have to actually walk that one, mm. right? Don't you? You have to actually go through the process of God taking away the stuff, ceasing, because we can talk about it all day long
yeah.
in the middle of busyness, and
totally.
It's Christianese. It sounds like, oh yeah, that's easy, right? But it's not. You have to be actually walking through it in the context. So Jacob, he's interesting, right? Because you have two options, as I said. number one, you either keep yourself busy or you actually start to engage, like Jacob wrestled God, right? But about actually engage with what God is trying to say to you right now, because he's not afraid of your or my kind of wrestling with it. Yeah. Isn't that right? Is that
totally? You know, Jacob's a fascinating guy in the Bible, and like so many characters in the Bible, they're not tidy. It's pretty messy. The whole story is really dysfunctional upbringing, you know, favoritism from his parents and all of that, his name, everything. And he carried a lot of stuff. But he only ever enters into real freedom and liberty whenever he stops and he's alone in the wilderness and wrestles with God. Mm-hmm. And he says, do you know, I'm not going to leave this place until I come out the other side of this, just like we're talking about there a moment ago. And so it's massive. But I think that, you know, the context, the background of where Jacob has come from and who he has believed himself to be all his life, who he's run away from, because he ran away from himself and from his brother, and who he wanted to be in his life is, there's so many lessons from us how we live in contemporary society, but even and not just how we live now during this whole period, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so that thing about wrestling, right, I think is really interesting, because I know for me, at times it's easier to, if it's not like physically walk away, but in my head and my heart, disengage from what God's trying to do, because it just seems a wee bit too tough, all right? And that whole thing of actually engaging. Mm. So I see wrestling as like engaging, right, mm-hmm. with what God's doing, what he's saying, and not running away, but actually working it out with the Lord.
Yeah. Do you know, I think it's really interesting that the Bible describes as wrestling with this stranger, with God, in Jacob's life. And so you go back, you know, I worked in sport for many years, loved sport, but like the most ancient of sports, if you like, is wrestling. And when you went back to the ancient Olympics and beyond that, wrestling, they didn't have any rounds. They had no duration. It's basically, you're there for as long as till the first man taps out.
Did they wear Lycra?
They were naked, actually.
No way. Are you serious?
They were. But they were genuinely. So
I'm really sorry I asked that question right now. The people at home are going, I'm going to have nightmares.
But there's something brutal about it.
Yeah.
But there's also something unbelievably, in the right term, maybe not after talking about them being intimate. Because it's cheek and jowl.
Yeah.
Do you know, you feel a person's arms wrapping around you, you know, their breath on your face, stuff. Do you know, it's there when you're in it, and it's about tactics, it's about trying to figure out as you move, they respond, you respond. It's about who's going to be the first person to find a weakness, who's going to be the first person to tap out instead of had enough.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Like Erica Weib, who was the 2016 Olympic wrestling champion, she described wrestling as a unique sport, said it tests character, strategy, and grit like no other sport. Mm. And I think in this sense, that idea of wrestling, so here Jacob is, he's wrestling God, and God's going with him, do you know, and as he pushes, he's locking him in, and thinking of him trying to pin God down, and there's something about you get to know that person really well. It's a different thing. It's about staying in there.
Yeah.
And we all know that Jacob goes, I'm not going to let go of this, because there's something in this encounter that is not only telling me about you, but it's telling me about me.
But see, that's the thing. We've got to not let go, even when it fits. Because I bet you when you're, I was going to say having a good wrestle, but when you're wrestling like that, there is something maybe about just tap out, go back, just walk away, but then you're going to miss out, right? Yes. We're going to miss out on what God is trying to, because I suppose from God's point of view, it's not about who's the biggest or who's the strongest, right? From God's point of view, he's trying to get us to understand not just who he is, but who you are. Yeah. Like in the middle of this, you're going to, you know, don't be afraid to work it out, because you're going to discover something about who he's made us to be and what's in us and who we're, not so much who we're not, but who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And almost to show us the full capacity more effectively of who we are.
Yeah.
And do you know, it's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be comfortable.
Yeah.
But in that place, what you do is you feel actually fully, you get to the edges of who you really are. And I think wouldn't it be a terrible thing in one sense to go through life and never have gone to the limit to find out, here's the limit of who I am. Mm-hmm. Here's the edges of my being.
Yeah.
wrestling, God will take you there.
Yeah.
And I'll take you deep into stuff that you might not like and that you close off and avoid for many times. And like at this stage, Jacob's been on the run for 22 years.
Yeah.
He had cheated his brother out of his birthright for a pot of stew. Then he goes in, he dresses up as Esau, goes into his blind father, puts skins on his arms, gets the stew in, puts his brother's clothes in, pretends to be his brother. The sight, the smell, the feel, the sound, everything of his brother. But he wasn't him. And whenever his dad said to him, "Who are you?" and he says, "It's me, Esau." Mm-hmm. And he asks him a second time, "Is it you, Esau?" He said, "It is." And then he blesses him, and he steals the birthright and his blessing from his brother Esau.
Yeah.
And then Esau goes in, and he said, "You are rightly named Jacob." Because Jacob actually meant, do you remember, he was a twin? And as he was born, I'd say the Bible tells us, Genesis, I think it's 26, that as he came out, he grasped the heel of his brother Esau, who was born first. Because the firstborn was the person who was, had the birthright, he had the blessing, they had all of these things, and we're told that he was his dad's favorite. And so Jacob's there, and says he's called Jacob because that means one who grabs the heel grabber, or deceiver, or supplanter, as in you trip someone up and grab by the heel. And he said, you are a wee deceiver, you're a heel grabber, you're a thief, you're a deceiver. And that's what he speaks into Jacob's life, and he goes, "I'm going to kill you." And Jacob goes on the run, and he's been on the run deceiving, living out that identity for 22 years. And in this point, he only ever finds out when he confronts who he really is, can he step into his future. It's outstanding.
It's brilliant. It's not amazing, because I think for like even lots of people listening tonight, do you know the way most of us live with this kind of sense at times, like who I pretend to be and who I am really, mm-hmm. right? If people really knew me, that sort of threat that sometimes hangs over us all, yeah. where we go, if I was really known, mm-hmm. then I wouldn't be loved, or I wouldn't be accepted, But actually, in right now, in this time, God is going, "No, wrestle with me, because I want to push you to right." What I'm hearing from you is, I want to push you right to the edge of who you really are, not the last 20 mm-hmm. years of whatever you've been living up to. But you're going to have to engage with me for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
That's really good. And even how you phrase it there, because it's that old thing of great Brennan Manning quote, God loves you as you are, not as you should be, because
yes.
you're never going to be as you should be. Yet we live our lives constantly putting on a face or a front of, "This is who I should be." Jacob always wanted to be Esau. He always wanted to be the firstborn. He wanted to have what Esau had. He wanted his father's love.
Yeah.
He lived that. He was never enough, because Esau had everything. Esau, he was the strong man. He was the hunter. He was his dad's favorite. He had all of these things. And Jacob lived his life pretending to be Esau, stealing what Esau had and trying to live up and be something. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Oh,
how we live our life.
It could be me. Yeah, that you could be actually, you know what I mean? Not that I've tried to grab anyone, but you know what I mean?
we live our life saying, "This is who I need to be. This is the version of me. We're going to have this cyber version. I'm going to conspicuously consume whatever clothes. I'm going to put a front on. I'm going to show people this is who I am. I'm going to be this sort of weird pastiche of various different things." And God says, "In all of this, would you just come alone with me and wrestle? Let me show you who you really are.
Yeah.
Accept yourself for who you really are. And now you're in a place where I can fully bless you, because it's not about putting works or deceiving."
I love it. So if we take that thought and let's say we go, "Okay, Lord, I'm not going to busy myself," even though the normal activity of wilderness, so that what we're talking about is how in this time God reveals himself and then we discover who we are. So if you and I, let's say you and I, we go, "Right, no messing. We're going to hold ourselves accountable," if you like, "for not filling our lives with stuff," mm-hmm. all right? And say, "Lord, let's wrestle on this."
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't want to replay the same scenes when this is done. I mean, what's the result? I mean, if you look at Jacob, what's in it for us? I suppose if you want to frame it that way.
Well, if you think the story with Jacob, it says the morning comes up and here's the beautiful thing, like God's grace is in all of this, because he could have overpowered him at any moment. He says he touched him and dislocated his hip with a touch, and he says to him, "What's your name?" he said to Jacob. And the echoes of what happened when his dad said to him, "So what's your name?" He said, "Yeah, you're not Esau. Who are you really?"
Mm-hmm.
So when you see who you really are, and then he said, "Now I'm going to bless you. From this day forward, you're no longer going to be the deceiver you're free from the past, the heel grabber. You're not Jacob anymore, you're Israel. You who wrestles with God and man and prevails.
Brilliant.
And you who gets into this place of wrestling and is blessed, and now you have a blessing that's way better than anything your dad could have given you, and you've into a future. So when you confront who you really are, yeah, wrestle with God and stay in that place, then God says, now I give a new name and a new future and a new blessing and a new hope to you. You're free from your past, and it's a gift that comes from God.
Yeah. And so I love that. So it's not about wrestling with God to get that from him, right? There's almost that sense of, you know, like with your kids, remember when they were wee? I can't do it with mine now, especially the eldest, because he'll knock my Milton, basically. But remember with your kids almost, you know, when they were playing with you and pawing with you, and you just almost, you know, like the cartoons when you put your hand up like that, and their wee arms would go crazy. And it's almost like God's in control. Mm. He's powerful, he's strong, and it's almost like he's allowing us to work this out, mm-hmm, right? Because the promise for us, we're not having to wrestle to get our the truth of who we are. It's because he's wanting us to discover it.
Yes.
He's wanting us to work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah? And not like this God who'll, you know, hold back from us and fight us for it. He's not holding on, but he's going to...
That's a really good point.
He's saying, figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, because the sad thing of us discovering and free will, and we've got to choose this.
Yeah.
You know, that's faith, isn't it? To go, we've got to choose this.
And that's a really key point, because we hear a lot of, I think, other stuff around wrestling that maybe is more like, you got to wrestle to try and get this off God, who's stingy and he's going to fight you for it, and you got to fight him for it, contend, brother. That's not it.
Yeah.
God's there. What he's saying is, now, see in this interaction and in this wrestle, what you start to do is you start to see who you really are.
Yeah.
You start to see my great power and your inadequacies. You can accept yourself for who you are, so that you're in a position to accept the blessing for who I want you to be.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. And my boys at home last week actually talk about something. We've been messing about a bit. I walked into their bedroom at night, and the two of them jumped me. They'd been waiting behind the door to jump me, to try and wrestle me, you know. So
I hope you duffed them up, did you?
Oh, they were gone in 30 seconds, good, on the floor.
I'd be disappointed.
I had the two of them on the floor in a lock.
And a half Nelson.
But I was enjoying that. They were enjoying it. And because what they start to do is they see and they can measure who they are in their strength and against me. But actually, when you wrestle with God, you realize it isn't a contest.
Yeah.
This isn't about contest.
Yeah.
This is about God saying, feel me.
Yeah.
Get to know me. See me. See yourself as I see you.
Yeah.
Now, can you see yourself who you really are? And don't try to shut it away. It's uncomfortable, but stay there.
Yeah.
And if you stay there long enough, you see who you really are now. Come to me as you are, not as you think you should be. Now, let me pour love and blessing into your life.
Yeah, I love that. Because the truth of it is, even in this story, right, there's a few things that it's almost like inside out then from Jacob. Like, God then goes, you don't need to pretend or live up to other labels. Yeah. I love you and I'll bless you for who you are, who I've made you to be. And like, even we've got to slow down with the pretending with God ourselves, don't we? Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm good, God, you'll bless me. If I'm good, you'll love me. And God goes, look, would you ever calm yourself down? Get to the end of that, and you'll still see that I am faithful and good, and I will love you and bless you just because you are who you are, and I love you that way. I don't need you to pretend. In fact, stop pretending. It's exhausting.
And, you know, there's so much lovely detail in that story. Do you know, it's worth looking at, and where what you see is real parallels with the rest of his life.
Sure.
You see this, him struggling and wrestling, one who grabbed at a heel, now stuck in a lock and being held onto. He's asked for his name. He calls the place afterwards Peniel, which means, you know, the face of God. He says, because I've seen God face to face and lived. And yet, do you remember that thing about having the face of both blessing and his son's face? And then he comes in, and when he meets Esau after that, the word face is used numerous times as a mark of blessing and presence and being able to see. He said, I have seen God and I've lived because I've had an encounter with God and it's changed me. Because God's not interested in just coming in as a one-off thing. He's interested in taking the whole narrative of your life, not one crisis to another, not one experience, but your whole narrative of your life, wrestling with you, giving you a revelation of who you are, and saying, let me take you into a new future and a new hope. And changing it from the inside out, not putting a stick and plaster on, just here's a new name, off you go, but doing a work that's in here. And that, it's in that secret place, in that wrestling with God, in the wilderness, whenever it's tough and it's difficult and you maybe don't always like what you find, it's in that that you actually come out the other side into a place of blessing. It's outstanding.
That's brilliant. And so just to finish up, I think one of the things is, I think for all of us, if this wee period of time, right, is about almost drawing a line and going, the past is what it is. The way that we've operated is what it is. There's no judgment or condemnation for that. But this is our opportunity to be freed from that, free from pretending, free from trying, free from letting on, and actually just engage with Jesus right now and let him, you know, because it's really safe. One of the things about, I know with your with the kids, like you're saying about wrestling with the boys, and it's like, it's dead safe for them to do that because dad's not going to hurt them. Mm. Well, not much, just... But you've got to let them know who's boss, right? But God doesn't do that. But there, it's a really safe place to work that out.
Totally.
And to go, we're okay. And we can get free. I love the sense of get free from your past, discover who you really are, and get into your future. That's really what the end of this is all about, isn't it?
It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, and yeah, I think that's a really important point to re-emphasize again, is that it's a safe place.
Yeah.
It might be uncomfortable. It might be unpleasant at times. It might be tough, and you have to keep wrestling with it. But it's safe because it's a place with a loving Father who actually wants you to be free from it. And so sometimes confronting some of the stuff in our life, it's not that nice. It's not that comfortable. But actually, unless we let God into those places, we can never be truly free. And we can never enter into who he has called us to really be.
Brilliant.
Amen. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation with Andrew and myself. I know I certainly had, and there's so much to learn there. There's so many great lessons, isn't there? But just to say, you know, whatever wilderness that you find yourself in tonight, whether that's a wilderness of isolation, of loneliness, maybe it's a wilderness where you are flat out working 12-hour shifts, helping to deliver really essential services, and you're tired, whatever that wilderness might be, it might be a wilderness of homeschooling, whatever. God wants to meet you in this place, and he wants to come close to you, and he wants to bless you. Do you know, in the wilderness, in this place, Jacob had been on the run for years, 22 years he'd been on the run. God met him the night before he was going to come face to face with his past, and he changed his future. Maybe you've never had the chance to encounter God. Perhaps you feel like you've been on the run from God. You know that he's there. Whatever situation you find yourself in, you've been wrestling with these ideas. What's it all about anyway? Who am I? Why am I here? And you've been closing off that voice like we talked about. I'd really encourage you just to stop, to rest, and to not try to push away from God, but let him, because actually in that wrestling, God's the one holding you. Jacob held on to God, but God was holding on to him. And in that tight, close wrestle, it was a place of blessing and a place of revelation. So if you've never had that opportunity to encounter God, you've been wrestling with this for years, we'd really invite you to ask God to come and to speak to you and to minister to you, to accept him and say, God, I want you to come and live my life. I want to get to know you better. And we would love to hear from you here at the church. If you've never encountered Jesus and if you'd like to encounter him, or as a consequence of this, that you've made that decision for God. Whatever you find yourself in, God has got you. He's holding on tight. Just like, as Andrew said, the dad, you're not coming to any danger because he's got you in your arms, and he's allowing you to wrestle with him so that you can step into all that he has for you in the future. I'd really encourage you to take time to think on this, to pray about it, take time on your own, to stop, to rest, to meditate on this. Don't rush away from what God brings up, and give him the space to minister to you into a new hope, a new name, a new future. Be blessed in Jesus' name.